Good morning. It's wonderful to see all of you here, and it's deeply meaningful for us to gather and worship early on this Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And even as I give thanks for your presence here, I would like to borrow Jesus' words to Mary and ask you, whom are you seeking? Whom are you seeking as you come into the house of the Lord on this resurrection Sunday? And I ask you to keep this question in mind as I share God's word with us. As we'll see, it's a critical question for each of us to ponder. May the Holy Spirit guide us in our response to it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open our ears to hear you. Open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to love you. This we humbly ask in your name. Amen. The Apostle John tells us that on the first day of the week, and that's Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Presumably, Mary then looked inside and she discovered that the body of Jesus wasn't there. She then ran to find Peter and John, and she told them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." We don't know where they've laid him. And that indicates that Mary probably wasn't alone when she went to the tomb, though John names only her. And this is sometimes done when that person is seen as a representative or the key figure of a group. In the Synoptic Gospels, Mary's companions are named. So this group of disciples, the men and the women, made their way together to the tomb. And I'd like to focus on Mary, so we'll skip ahead to the part when the disciples went back to their homes, leaving only Mary there. And she was now standing outside the tomb. And she was weeping. And as she continued to weep, she stooped to look inside. And she saw two angels sitting where the body of Jesus had been. And they asked Mary, "Why are you weeping?" She explained, "They," even though she didn't really know exactly who, "they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Note that Mary was concerned about the location of Jesus' body. It had been moved, and she didn't know where it was. Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. And he said to her, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And Mary thought that this man was the gardener. And so she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And so Mary was still trying to figure out where Jesus' body was, even as she was speaking with him. Now, how could it be that Mary, who was quite familiar with Jesus, wasn't able to recognize him? Well, some scholars think that this was because Jesus' resurrected body had a different appearance than before. And perhaps Mary couldn't recognize Jesus because he didn't look exactly like she remembered or expected. Or maybe she was so focused on attending to his body that she just couldn't perceive something so different, something that would have confounded all her expectations. Others say that Mary was too overwhelmed by grief, to the point that she wasn't able to make sense of her surroundings. And perhaps her vision was obscured by her tears. And we might be familiar with this. When we are crying, we really can't see clearly at all. Could that be the reason why Mary was unable to recognize Jesus? Well, Mary's expectations and all her emotions may have affected, to some degree, her ability to recognize him. But I don't think that's a satisfactory explanation It was necessary for her to deal with her expectations and her emotions, but that wouldn't have been enough. We see that Mary didn't recognize Jesus until he called her by name, Mary. But it wasn't just a matter of hearing Jesus' voice, as some have suggested, because he had spoken to her earlier. It was precisely when Jesus said Mary's name that she realized who he was. And she responded by calling him Rabboni, which means my teacher or my master. I believe that Jesus chose to reveal himself to Mary, and he did so by calling her by name. It was only then that she was able to recognize him. And this was an act of self-revelation on Jesus' part. It was intentional. It was personal. And he revealed himself to her, not according to her expectations, but according to who he really is. And this must shape our understanding of Jesus' question to Mary. She thought she was at the tomb seeking Jesus, but in a sense, she wasn't. She was wrong. She was misguided. Now, let's be clear that Mary had the right intentions. She went to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. Her devotion isn't in question. She loved Jesus. She was brokenhearted after his death, and she wanted to honor him by tending to his body. But in wanting to do all that, Mary didn't really understand whom she was seeking. She saw the empty tomb and she struggled to make sense of it, even though she must have been aware of the testimony of Scripture and the testimony of Jesus himself that he would rise from the dead. Mary didn't understand all that she had heard. Perhaps she didn't believe all that she had heard. She wasn't really seeking Jesus, but rather his dead body. She expected to find Jesus lying in the tomb, but that was the wrong expectation. And Jesus surpassed, transcended all her expectations, and he was far more and far greater than she had expected. When Jesus was crucified and breathed his last, when his body was laid in the tomb, it seemed that death had won. But no. Instead, death has been defeated, and Jesus is the victorious conqueror. Praise be to God. But Mary didn't understand that yet. Jesus had to help her to see that he's far greater than whom she intended to seek. His question to Mary is therefore both powerful and poignant. And I believe that he is asking each of us that same question today. My friends, whom are you seeking? We've come to church very early on this Easter morning. We've made our way here while it was still dark, and I believe we've come with the right intentions. I'm sure we did this as an expression of our devotion to Jesus. We love him. We want to honor him. And even so, perhaps we, like Mary, don't really know whom we're seeking. Perhaps like Mary, we fail to recognize Jesus for who he truly is. He might appear different from what we expect. And here, of course, I don't mean that we necessarily see Jesus in the flesh. But the way he reveals himself in the midst of our circumstances might not always match what we have in mind. And sometimes we ask Jesus to show himself, to show his power, to show his mercy, perhaps both, in a specific way. And we cry out to him, Lord, please do this. Make this come to pass, and I'll know that you're really present, that you're really with me, that you are for me. Well, the Lord might graciously grant us what we ask for, but I think we know that's not always the case. Does that mean that Jesus isn't present? No. Because we might not really be seeking Jesus when we ask for such things. We're merely looking for a particular manifestation of Him based on our personal expectations. Or perhaps we allow our past experiences, familiar and preferred, precious experiences, to get in the way of seeing Him in the present. Now, those may have been wonderful experiences of encountering Jesus, and it's right to thank God for them. But we can, unfortunately, allow them to limit our understanding, to define too rigidly our expectations of how we can encounter Him. We may be tempted, without realizing it, to dictate the ways in which our encounters with Him should always occur. But again, He's far greater than that. And He can't be limited in that manner. So friends, let's be ready to embrace other ways, new ways, to see Jesus, who is more than our past experiences can show us, however glorious they might have been. Some of us may, like Mary, be overwhelmed by grief, too overwhelmed to recognize Jesus' presence. Perhaps we can't see Him through our tears. We may have suffered a loss, or we are facing a problem that seems too much for us to take. We're weighed down, we feel abandoned, alone. And if that's you today, take heart that Jesus is with you. And He's greater than any problem that you might be facing. Since death wasn't too great a problem for Him, we can trust Him to help us overcome any challenge that we are facing. Like Mary, our expectations and emotions can hinder our ability to see Jesus. But when He calls us by name, when He speaks His word into our hearts, when He chooses to reveal Himself to us, that changes everything. What does Jesus want us to see? As I waited on the Lord, this is what I sensed Him saying to us. He wants us to see that more than we could possibly comprehend, He knows us and He loves us. He knows us and yet He loves us. He loves us despite what He knows about us. The worst parts of us are not hidden from Him. He sees, He knows, and yet He loves. And He invites us to humble ourselves before Him, to confess our weakness, our sin, our need for Him, and receive afresh His mercy and grace. Friends, whom are we seeking this morning? Whatever we think we know about Jesus, He's greater than that. Whatever our expectations of Him, He's more than, bigger than, greater than we could possibly expect. Because our finite minds cannot fully comprehend our infinite God. He's far greater than we can imagine. And even so, He graciously shows us glimpse after glimpse of who He is. He invites us to see and to know Him more and more, and to experience the extraordinary transforming power of His love and grace. Today on Easter Sunday, we especially remember Jesus as our risen Lord, our mighty conqueror, our champion who has defeated death. Because he was raised from the dead, he calls us and empowers us as his disciples to live a new life in him. And as we hear regularly in Holy Communion service, as we shall hear again shortly, we are to live his risen life. Our gospel reading ends with Mary going and announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and telling them the things that Jesus had told her. In other words, she went and proclaimed what she had seen and heard. She was a witness. And like Mary, through our encounter with Jesus, we too are sent forth to proclaim what we have seen and heard. We too are called to be witnesses. We are to share the good news of our risen King, the Sovereign One who conquered death to save us from our sins and give us life. And through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can do this with resurrection power. Would we give ourselves to the Lord for this purpose? May He use us to lead many others to Him, to seek Him and find in Him life, abundant and eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.